Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Welcome in San Diego, it's Jade Hindman. On today's show, we'll take a deep dive into the manosphere, a toxic subculture created online. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. As extremist groups become part of the political mainstream, conspiracy theories and hateful rhetoric fuel vitriol and distrust. A new series of documentary shorts out of USA Today looks into why those fringe movements have gained traction. It's called Extremely Normal, and the first episode is all about the manosphere. It's a growing community united by male supremacist ideologies. And it's at a time when young men are experiencing depression and suicide at record highs. Joining me to talk about this is Will Carlos. He covers extremism and emerging issues for USA Today. Will, welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
So where did the term manosphere come from?
Manosphere's been around for a while. It's sort of grown out of this movement that was at one point called the Men's Rights Movement. And the manosphere is... It's not a place or a thing, really. It's more of a brand, I guess. And it's kind of a collection of everything from spaces online where people go on and talk about this stuff to influencers, social media. They've kind of been collectively termed the manosphere. And that term is used essentially for, as you pointed out in your intro, for kind of toxic masculinity online masquerading as self-help for young men.
Hmm. Well, when we talk about the manosphere, Andrew Tate comes to a lot of people's minds. Who is he and why is he so popular in this movement, if you will?
Yeah, he's pretty much the kind of the ringleader of the manosphere, if you like. He's sort of the most popular figure. Andrew Tate's a former champion kickboxer. He's half English, half American, like me, incidentally. And he basically made his money in doing sort of nefarious things online. He had a porn webcam business for a long time. He's also been accused of human trafficking and all sorts of other crimes. He used to live in Romania. His current whereabouts are unknown, but he's mainly become famous as this kind of very charismatic, very sort of well-dressed, flying around in private jets the whole time. And he spews these ideas of both kind of self-help, you know, do your sit-ups, drink lots of water, don't drink alcohol. But then he mixes it in with a whole bunch of anti-woman hate. I wouldn't say anti-woman, I'd say more sort of women are men's property, that sort of thing. Women are somewhat inferior to men. And that's kind of a big part of what he sells, I guess.
Sounds hateful to me.
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea, but he's got millions and millions and millions of followers around the world.
Wow. Well, what are some of the factors driving young men towards online fringe or online figures like Andrew Tate?
Well, so I cover extremism, as you said, and you know, extremist groups have always appealed to young men in kind of times of need, right? It's when young men are down and they don't have friends, they're maybe struggling at school, they're struggling at home, that's when the extremist groups kind of move in. And that's what we've seen with the manosphere. Basically, you have right now in America what a lot of experts call a real crisis of mental health among young men. I'm sure you've covered it on your show and in other programming. Young men are experiencing levels of depression and suicide at really unprecedented levels right now. And as we point out in the documentary, these manosphere influencers have essentially stepped into this void. They sort of offer both a scapegoat and an escape route to these young men. They come in with these ideas, you know, it's not your fault, it's kind of society, it's the matrix, as Andrew Tate likes to say, mainstream media, all of these influences are what's ruining your life, and we can give you the key to fix it.
What is it about podcast culture, you think, that really fuels this manosphere?
It's a good question. I mean, I think it's a cross between the accessibility. I mean, if you, anyone who has a teenager at home knows that, you know, they've got the earbuds in a lot of the time, right? They've got headphones on. So kids are listening to stuff all the time. And all the data shows us that kids are listening to a lot of podcasts. They still listen to music, obviously, but podcasts have basically replaced radio, and they've replaced, you know, to a certain extent, have not replaced, but have taken a big chunk out of online video streaming. So, you know, podcasting is something you can do whether you're just kind of riding the bus to school or sitting in classroom or flipping burgers at a Burger King, if that's your job. You know, it's something that you can do anywhere. And so they're immensely popular among both young men, and particularly young men, but also young women.
Wow. Well, your reporting took you to an MMA gym in Fontana, California. What was the culture like there?
So, yeah, I spent a couple of days going to a couple of dozen gyms all over Southern California, trying to find people who were fans of Andrew Tate and who were fans of kind of the manosphere in that world. And yes, it took me to Fontana, California. And as I say in the documentary, I kind of expected to sit down with these like nasty, misogynistic, openly kind of vitriolic young men. And actually what I found was we had some quite thought-provoking debate. Now they were fans of Andrew Tate, but they pushed back on both my characterization of what he said and some of the things he said, but they also said, look, you know, we don't agree with that stuff. We like most of what he says, but we don't like it when he talks badly about women. And that's at least what they said while the cameras were pointing at them.
Hmm. And you actually reached out to Andrew Tate for this series, and he declined an interview. He did send you a long statement, though. What did it say?
Oh my gosh, you're testing my memory now. But the essence was what Andrew Tate always says. You know, I'm mischaracterized by the media. What even is misogyny? I have my views on men and women, and he basically talked about how he's only against women who are denigrating or putting down men, and that he's not against women per se. And then there was some other kind of bizarre stuff. But it was a long statement. Yeah.
Interesting. So then here's my question. Like, in the manosphere, where do women fit into society?
In a sort of traditional gender role, I think is the best way to say it. So obviously, you know, not everybody in the manosphere believes the same thing. But the most kind of monolithic, the most prevalent viewpoint is essentially that women belong at home and belong looking after children and kind of taking care of the house and looking after their husband. And then the husband goes out and makes the money. That's what these men preach. And that's the sort of image that they're selling to young men. It's like, we need to go back to this kind of 1950s, 1960s bucolic era where men went out and worked and came home and the house was sparkling and the women were at home waiting for them. That's sort of the ideal that they're selling.
Interesting. And so I'm curious, because you ended up at a MMA gym. Mm-hmm. What led you to the MMA gym? Where does that fit into the manosphere?
Yeah, that's an astute question. I mean, essentially, I wanted to find young men who would talk to me, and I wanted to find young men who were of this ilk, who are in this kind of world. And there is a big crossover between the world of MMA, the world of kind of combat sports, and the manosphere. You know, Andrew Tate's a former MMA fighter. A lot of these podcasters, a lot of these influencers are doing some sort of MMA, some sort of physical fitness in general, but more specifically MMA. So it just kind of like, you know, when you know, as a reporter, you go where the story is, and I wanted to find those sources, and that seemed like a very likely kind of pool to dive into.
Interesting. There's, you mentioned the overlap that happens with MMA, but there's also this overlap that happens with active club networks. Can you talk a bit about that? And was this gym part of anything like that?
I don't believe this gym was part of an active club. And for the listeners, you know, active clubs have become a sort of a de facto gathering space, essentially for young far-right Americans, mainly young men. So these are active clubs. They're essentially fight clubs where guys get together and train and then spar. But they've also taken on a lot of them, not all of them. Look, I mean, if your child's going to an MMA gym, the chances are it could be absolutely nothing to do with this. But there is a subset of these gyms that are are very, and very specifically, if they're labeled active clubs, that are, I'd say, sort of neo-fascist in nature. They're you know, interested in things like white supremacy. They're interested in the far right and far right viewpoints. And they've become, grew out of Southern California, by the way, this this whole movement. And they've become, as I say, this kind of de facto gathering space for young Nazis, essentially.
Why the training, you know, the combat training and all of that?
I think it's, I mean, that's kind of always gone hand in hand with white supremacy and with sort of neo-fascism. That's always been a big part of it, is like, you've got to be physically strong, you've got to be physically fit. I mean, at a very basic level, it's kind of preparing for the race war or the forthcoming, you know, Armageddon. So that's, and but I think it's more than that. It's also, you know, these guys preach that you have to, in order to kind of take care of your mind and become like a free thinker, you have to have a healthy body, you know, healthy body, healthy mind, which not many of us can argue with in a weird kind of way. But they've obviously used it to then poison young men with their hateful beliefs.
It's interesting, because anytime I talk to you about extremism, there's always that this seemingly innocent idea that comes into the picture, and then people are sort of radicalized by other ideas attached to it, whether it's Christianity or it's health and fitness and the manosphere and neo-Nazis. I mean, there's always something that's there that seemingly innocently lures people in.
That's the game plan. I mean, that's how extremist groups operate. I mean, it goes right back to the sort of skinhead gangs of the 1980s and obviously going right back to sort of the fascists of the 30s. I mean, they essentially offer... let's keep it within the manosphere, for example. One of the difficulties about reporting on the manosphere and making a documentary about them is that, look, 90% of what people like Andrew Tate say makes perfect sense. You know, it's make your bed, it's get up in the morning, it's don't drink alcohol, it's take good care of yourself. It's all things that any sort of self-help person is preaching. It's the 10% where it gets different, right? And that's always, as I say, been the game plan of extremists. They bring you in with the normality, they bring you in with the stuff that no one can argue with, and then they slip in the anti-Semitism, they slip in the white supremacy, and they kind of, they start to teach you that, and before you know it, like, you're believing that as strongly as you're believing I need to drink 8 cups of water a day.
Well, in your reporting, did you encounter any positive male influencers that could sort of be an antidote to all this?
I did. I encountered quite a few. And in the research, you know, one of the things we wanted to do with this documentary was to offer some solutions and to offer a little bit of hope. And so we actually ended up in Detroit with a guy called Jason Wilson, who's a very influential. He hates to call himself an influencer, but I mean, the guy's got 1.6 million followers. You know, he's out there every day on social media kind of teaching young men both physical fitness and strength and everything else. All of the kind of good, I guess, sort of traditional masculine stuff, if you like, or just healthy stuff. But then he's not going into, he's a supporter of women. He doesn't go into the kind of vitriol against women. He's very, very much about lifting women up and you know, kind of a feminist and just essentially just doesn't slip into the nastiness that you see with some of the other influencers. But I will stress, I mean, that's just one guy doing, I think, good work out there that most people can support.
Yeah. Well, this is just the first episode of yours about the manosphere in a series of documentary shorts that you're producing. This one, of course, about the manosphere. But what other topics will you be exploring?
I don't want to give too much of the game away, but I think we can probably see future episodes on rising Holocaust denial and Holocaust denial as a sort of a mainstream topic of conversation among young people, which is bizarre and scary. And I thought we'd figured that out, but evidently we haven't. I think we might see future shows on active clubs. Possibly, we're looking at possibly doing something on the way that we debate and discuss things online and how that's fundamentally changed and how that's also fundamentally affecting politics, particularly among young people. And I think we could be doing something on the emergent political violence as well, as we saw with the shooting of Charlie Kirk, and of course the years of violence that precluded that too. So yeah, we will, if it follows this arc from the fringes to the mainstream, then we're interested in it. And I'd love to hear from listeners as well, if they have any ideas for something that fits into that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I can't wait to see what else comes of this project. I've been speaking with Will Carlos. He covers extremism and emerging issues for USA Today. His new series is called Extremely Normal, and you can check it out at usatoday.com. Also, if you have any ideas to send to Will, you can always email them to midday@kpbs.org. Will, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Marichal Design and Remodeling, helping homeowners with their home remodeling needs. From ADUs to kitchen remodels, room additions, and custom homes, Marichal Design and Remodeling can help homeowners design and build their dream homes. More at trustyourhometous.com.